There once was a man named Gold Roger, who was king of the pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him from the gallows, these were the final words he said.
Our perspective is yours for the taking, but you'll have to join us first. We left everything we debated at the Yonko table.
Ever since, pirates from all over the world set sail for the Grand Line, searching for the Yonko table, the table that will make their dreams come true.
Yo!
Yo, folks, welcome to the latest and the greatest from the Yonko table. That is the voice of Grandmaster Hoop coming at you from, well, we're coming down to Earth because we got some things we got to take care of. We're leaving the Saber base just like our man Nick Fury because we got to deal with the secret invasion. That's right, folks. We're here to talk about the latest and the greatest from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And it's Marvel's latest Disney Plus show, Secret Invasion, starring everybody's favorite badass super spy, Colonel Nicholas J. Fury, played by ever so greatly Samuel L. Jackson. And we're here to talk about this 6-episode miniseries that has somewhat of a mixed reception from the MCU audience. We haven't been covering it weekly, but the finale just passed today, and we're here to talk about it as a whole. With me, as always, is fellow Yonko, Dr. Jace Attorney. Dr. Jace Attorney, Secret Invasion, I know you have this love-hate with the MCU. Did this Secret Invasion reinvigorate your MCU spirits after the great last outing of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3? Did this continue the hype train for the rest of Phase 5?
No. No.
Whoa.
Straight. No.
No.
Absolutely. What a shock. An MCU project that was dividing the fandom? What? Listen, you know me. I feel like I speak for some people, both in our Yonko chat, even in the Discord. When it comes to MCU fatigue, it's real. It's a thing. This show didn't help. And it sucks because it sucks that it doesn't deliver, because it's coming off the heels of Guardians 3, which, if from what I remember, we all found that to be a pretty damn good MCU film. And it's like, oh, we're back. We're back. And it's like, oh, we never left. We never left. We're back, man. So you would think, like, okay, this is the start of, like, the incline for the MCU again. I'm telling you, man. But I think Bob Iger said it best. And I know he's in hot water right now for, you know, some of his comments with the recent going-ons with the strikes and everything. But I believe he was on the money on one particular comment he made. And it was the fact that there is MCU fatigue. He acknowledged it. There is fatigue. There's oversaturation. And Disney's going to be cutting back on Marvel production. I think that's a good thing. And this show reinforced that. We'll get into the nitty-gritty, I'm sure.
Sure.
But yeah. That was a long-winded response to give you, no, we're not back. We were never back.
I think this show has a lot of things that are worth discussing, which we will get into. We are not alone on tonight's venture in picking out who's a Skrull and who's human. Let's see which supernova is joining our spy team.
Viene, viene, paging Dr. Mondo.
All right, so we're here. Secret Invasion. Dr. Mondo, do you want to give your quick take overall of your thoughts on Secret Invasion as a whole?
Dr. Mondo with an MCU take?
Yeah, like, I'm going to echo a lot of what Dr. J said. Like, really, I was one that adored Guardians 3. And yes, I have been critical in the past of MCU. Guardians 3 made me hopeful that we were going in the right direction, but it seems, at least for now, it was a false dawn. Because this show wasn't it at all. I love spy espionage stuff, and I was like, ooh, this is might be interesting, you know, like some espionage stuff that's gonna go on in the MCU. And I didn't feel the espionage. I just felt that we were going in circles and into nowhere. I just felt that it was moving at a snail's pace and going nowhere at the same time. But we'll dive a little bit deeper on that. So yeah, like, no, I give it like it's pretty bad in my book.
Oh,
I mean, that's not crazy from Dr. Mondo saying that, you know, he's not fond of it.
Watch
neither
Boba,
is your
watch
take.
The Boba Fett episode, if y'all want to see my rage, but just in case.
Oh,
but I mean, I think everything you both said is warranted. I for one.
Oh, go ahead. Let's hear it.
I'm trying.
Why aren't you saying it?
Are you done?
Are you going to say it?
I am not a proponent of this show. I think this show had an interesting premise on the table. Mm-hmm. I think it had some great tie-in to other MCU projects that would have been really worth expanding upon, which I think was the right decision to make this be the focus. However, I think, I don't know, just a lot of this show got lost in the sauce. And I think at the end of it, you know, Dr. Marta, you said running around in circles. Sometimes I'm just like, where are we running to?
Exactly.
I don't even know what we're
I
because this going.
Because again, with espionage, like movie series, you know, a part of like that thrill of it is like kind of like you are going in circles, but or at least they're trying to lead you as though you're going in circles, but truly you are going in a direction. You just don't know yet. And this show didn't do that at all. And like, it was just like, what is happening? Oh, they're trying to trick me as if instead of like, oh, there's nothing happening, but really something is. They're trying to tell me, oh, something is happening, but really nothing is happening. It was the other way around.
That's what it really came down to. In six episodes, we have an adaptation of one of Marvel's largest stories, like one of its most well-known stories, The Secret Invasion, which is the Skrull invasion of Earth, where they pick off superheroes, and you know, we go along these stories and we learn that some superheroes were Skrulls the entirety of some certain comic lines, and then we learn like some other big heads in the Marvel world were Skrulls, and then there's an all-out battle between the Skrulls and the Super Skrulls and the Avengers and the X-Men. I'm really paraphrasing because I never read it, and that's a really great story to tell. We don't get that here. What we get here is, oh man.
I guess we gotta
backtrack a little. Go ahead. What were you gonna
say?
Oh,
I was just gonna say, didn't one of the showrunners say that they didn't even read the Secret Invasion?
They told them not to read it.
They told them not to read it
because this wasn't gonna be anything like it. And that was Ali Salim, who was the director and the showrunner. I think he directed every episode. Yes, he did. He sure did. Directed every episode. I'm glad he didn't read it, but I'm also kind of sad because what a cooler concept. Well, I just know what I mean is what a cooler concept we would have had if they actually did the Secret Invasion and gave it the film treatment. And where we could see, you know, or also too, just the idea of secret invasion, I don't think should be condensed in a mini series that features heroes, no Marvel villains.
Well, there's some Marvel heroes in the finale.
Are there?
Yes.
One.
The powers.
We'll get there. We'll get there. But okay, let me ask this. does this story, Secret Invasion, being condensed to 6 episodes and knowing what was presented in the comics, and if you watch Avengers Earth's Mightiest Heroes, are you satisfied? Are y'all satisfied with what we were given here, knowing what this could have been?
No, like, and yeah. I think even not like, oh, so knowing what it could have been makes me like, damn, they really screwed up a great opportunity. Like, they just threw it in the trash. Like, but let's say even if they didn't know, well, obviously they did, it was still really freaking bad. Like, and I think I'm going to say something that's like, I think I've said it before, and many, and maybe like some of the table has said it before with other Marvel series, but the pacing, god damn it. Like, Marvel series, the majority of them have the same pacing issues. And I don't understand what is the obsession of condensing everything into 6 episodes that are short as hell, or when, or the longest one, which you would expect would be the finale. Oh no, actually the finale is like one of the shortest ones. Again, like, it just makes, and it's, and this is not the first time Marvel does this. This has been like a common theme in a lot of the series. 6 episodes, the first episode presents something that you're like, okay, this is kind of interesting. Episode 2, 3, 4, nothing happens. It moves at a snail's pace. Episode 5, oh my god, this series is gonna end soon. Let's scramble. Episode 6, they just give you a burnt egg. Like a totally burnt out stuff there, right there.
I like these.
And then it's like, we're done.
Enjoy. It's over.
It's over. Never
enjoy
again.
Enjoy the meal. Bon appetit. And it's like, what did you just give me? You gave me trash.
It's one of those things where again, maybe it's wishful thinking. I feel like Bob Iger being part of Disney again, maybe he'll lay down the iron fist. Too soon. Maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a deep cut. maybe he'll lay it down for whatever initiative that. Whatever initiative there is for having these shows be either limited to 6 episodes or being extended into 6 episodes. We've seen it multiple times where in a scenario where a series would have benefited with more episodes, and then they end up botching the ending because they're rushing it. They're trying to get to the finish line in the finale. Or there's a scenario where there's not enough content in the story that they wrote to warrant a 6 episode series, which I feel like this kind of falls into place with in that scenario where you have an hour, almost hour long episode, what, 1 and 2, I think, were the longest.
Episode 1 and 2 were the longest episodes.
And then, and then the rest of the series is like 30 minutes? Four, three, four, five, and six. I'm like, if y'all only wrote enough content for a 4 or 5 episode series, just end it with 5. What? Where is the ironclad rule that you need 6?
No, and again, it's like
this?
I think
She-Hulk gets
that,
9. Why?
I think it's just that. How do I say it? They just give them like they give them the amount of episodes like after they write stuff, or because it's the only thing that makes sense. Because the way this has happened, it's a repeating offense, like MCU TV, Disney Plus series. They're written like they're either way too long and they compress it, as you're saying, or they run out of juice and they're just trying to really stretch that gum out until they can.
The Laffy Taffy.
I think what it also comes down to is just the selection for what needs to be a series and what needs to be
a movie
or what needs to be a mini series
or
is getting
a special
is getting lost in the sauce. I for one think Secret Invasion would have benefited a much longer run idea if you make it a series and, you know, you don't try to wrap it up all in six episodes. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I had similar sentiments with Loki when I thought nothing was happening. But then when they dropped that there's a season two coming, I was like, OK, fine. I like that. There's more to this story. There's a lot more that could have been done with Secret Invasion, a lot more cooler ideas that they could have expanded upon. Unfortunately, they said, we're going to take one of the largest Marvel stories. We're going to condense it to six episodes. Some episodes going to be literally 30 minutes of action and not even that great of action.
No, and wait, 30 minutes of action? You mean like...
I think episode four was
no,
like...
episode. So I would say like episode four and five, even though they were like half an hour, 35 minutes or something like that, really the action, maybe 5 minutes. Five tops, 10 minutes.
And my point is,
and it wasn't great.
Well, that's my point is like the other half of those episodes, I couldn't even tell you what really happened.
Yeah.
To where I only remember the action. And that was the, I don't know, the selling point of the episode. But then the action wasn't that great. And nope. So with that said, I don't know. I feel Marvel needs to go back to the writer's room. Pay your writers. Okay. Let's
first
get that straight. Pay your writers, and I guarantee they will come up with something better. This could be a giant stick it to them for not paying their writers.
Honestly, I'm thinking it has to be that. It has to be something where the writers are not getting paid sufficiently. And because of that, you know, they have real life problems that are, you know, affecting their work. And you get stuff like this where, you know, they're preoccupied with their actual life and they can't give a product that's actually reflective of something that's made of quality because mm-hmm. they're worried about, you know, them being underpaid and whatnot. I would like to think if they were sufficiently paid and felt comfortable in their jobs, they would give us something better. And I feel like that has to be what the reason is as to why just time and time and time again for the last several years at this point. It would be one thing if it was like, oh, okay, it was just one dud out of like a bunch of diamonds.
Like,
you
this
know,
is not the first dud.
It's the 10th dud. It's the 11th, the 12th. And that's why, Grandmaster, because I guess we could start talking about the actual series. When we saw episode one, right?
Yeah.
When only episode one was out, I remember thinking I hated the first episode. I hated it.
Okay. That's interesting.
And then, but right.
For me, it was the best episode.
But you see, I felt like even though it laid some groundwork, I was bored. And then I remember, right? What was your take on it? You're like, well, it's only episode one. We have to give it a chance. I'm like, no, I said,
okay. Well, okay. Let's get into this.
Five episodes for it to be good.
Let's get into this. So overall plot, Nick Fury, knows of the Skrull secret invasion. He's coming down from Saber. He's going to recruit his little team. Talos, the Skrull leader that we met in Captain Marvel, Maria Hill, and they're going to take on the Skrulls, the Rebel Skrulls led by Gravik. That's what we're here for. And that's all kind of laid out in episode one. It, like Dr. Mondo said, it's an espionage type of series. The Skrulls could be anybody. They've infiltrated governments. Fury owed them something that he promised in Captain Marvel. And they are mad because he did not follow up on it. I thought that was a great premise to kick things off. Incident.
I thought that was great. I agree. Like, the thing is that the first episode, like, I know what Dr. Jace was saying. The first episode, it wasn't like, oh my God, it blew me out of the water. Great. But I was like, I'm intrigued. Let's see what they do with it.
It's an intriguing plot.
It's an intriguing plot, knowing that literally you can't trust anyone. They can be anyone. And you know, kind of like jumping away from the first episode, one thing that I found really dumb that they did very early on, I think it was in the second episode or third that they did it. It's like one of the things that would have made this series so interesting. Again, the like the characters don't know who the Skrulls are. We shouldn't know either who the Skrulls are. And it's like,
I can buy that.
It's like, trick the audience.
Which I think episode one did a good job with that.
Episode one did a good job. It didn't like, be, again, not blowing, but it sets the stage. It sets the stage up for that, which is great. But then in the second episode, they have this, Gravik has this, I think it's second or third. Gravik has the meeting.
The meeting with all
and
the...
And I was like, yeah, this is dumb. It's like, you... That was like the biggest spoiler that you could have given us in the entire series. You gave it to us in the second episode of six. And now we know, oh yeah, the world leaders are Skrulls. Thank you.
Let me say this. That is their biggest ace in the hole when it comes to this series, is the Skrull gimmick.
No, yeah. They could be. And again, like, use the gimmick, but not only trick the characters, trick the audience.
I think every episode should have been having people guess. Like, yeah, like you're
Skrull?
Saying.
Are you a Skrull? Is he a Skrull? What's happening?
I think if you're going to take out the superheroes and the villains who exactly. could have been Skrulls, you need to give us interesting characters this whole time. To make us question,
and then on top of that too,
there's two factions of Skrulls. There's good exactly. Skrulls, and there's rebel Skrulls. Yes. So if you lean towards that, I think you would have had a much more interesting series. Dr. Jace, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to comment on the world leaders bit where they reveal that the mm-hmm. world leaders are Skrulls. I think, and I don't agree with the choice, but I think what they were trying to do. Was established early on how high up in like society, like for government and political bodies, how, oh wow, if Skrulls, because at that point, you know, you knew Skrulls were in hiding, but it's like, oh, are they just like a government agent that's like exactly. on the payroll, like stuff like that. But for that episode, I think them showing that early on was to try and establish, so, like,
yeah,
okay,
it's like to give you like, you this is the severity of the situation that we're facing.
Right. You don't know how high up, or I mean, like they're that high up, so you don't know anyone can be a Skrull. But at the same time, I wish they didn't do that because I think it's a more interesting gimmick to guess. Throughout the series,
exactly.
how high up does it go? Where you just see it as first as like these grunts or these government agents, then you get higher up the political sphere.
It's a spider web. Like,
it's a spider web. It you get to world leaders.
Exactly.
Like that's the buildup that this show needed. And it didn't give
what,
that.
Like, what an intriguing espionage story that like, no one and everyone at the same time are the enemy because it's an enemy that's that in a way it's like everywhere, but nowhere because it can be anyone. And it's like for you to like try as the audience to figure out like who is the true villain, who is actually running the show, who's the puppeteer. That makes a great espionage, like literally the like a shadow leader. That makes a great espionage story. That makes an extraordinary espionage story. And they had everything, all the tools to make an amazing espionage story here.
And, you know, they showcase some elements that I've been wanting them to take part in the MCU to really show, like, how high the stakes are. So, like, for example, throughout this series, I was questioning the rating. They get into a lot when it comes to torture, violence. Yeah. There's a scene where that lady cuts off that dude's
face. Do not call her just a lady because I think she might be one of the best parts of the show.
Okay, yes.
Olivia Colman,
but she
Academy Award winner, Olivia Colman.
What was the name of her character?
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow. So you don't even know the character name, and you're giving me crap.
Her name is more important than the character.
Ridiculous.
She's played Sonya Fallsworth of MI6, which So, you know, we've been harping on.
She's a new character, right?
She's new. There's a lot of new entries in this show. An old associate
of Nick
Fury. Right. Okay. She's MI6, so she's British intelligence.
Okay.
Olivia Coleman, I think, was one of the most enjoyable things about this show. And the scene you're talking about, yes, where she's torturing the Skrull, cutting off, I think, his finger.
Yeah,
he does she does the finger. She does the injection with the temperature to make the blood boil. I'm like, yep. A finger.
Honestly, I love her character because it's that she's like, oh, hello there, I'm your friend, but at the same time with a smile on her face.
Her demeanor the whole time.
With a smile on her face, she just cuts your finger. Your blood's going to boil.
Like outside of the stuff that we did not like, I think that was an element that I did. Like she was probably one of the better elements.
And you know what? I don't know if maybe it was useless and all that, but this is a hot take, but I found it interesting that they killed Maria Hill in the first episode because was it a useless death? Quite possibly, yes. In like once you see the entire series.
Well, right? let's get into the whole scope of kind of, so we talked about just the concept of the Skrulls. Let's get into kind of the plot moving forward. So Rebel Skrulls trying to take over. Mm-hmm. Insurrect many governments, cause chaos because they don't have a home.
Basically destroy humanity so they can take over.
Maria Hill, Talos, Nick Fury are on the job. They're going to take care of this. Maria Hill, first casualty that we get. And again, this is a Nick Fury story.
Hate it.
This is a Nick Fury story. I wish they didn't kill her because we already don't get enough of Maria Hill in prior MCU projects.
That people were begging to come back for years.
Yeah.
I completely like it, it's one thing if maybe like in the midway season finale or in the season finale if she did die, because maybe then she would have contributed something interesting to the ongoing story that was going on. And then you would appreciate having her back. She did cool stuff, whatever. They brought her back to kill her. In the way of Boba Fett, it's the same way where they brought in Cad Bane for live action and then they kill him. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Okay. That's, so I guess he could do that too.
So I see where you're getting at, and they're really valid. Like, the reason I'm saying that, okay, like, I wasn't as shocked or annoyed. Let's put it as annoyed, is that one of the things that irks me of the MCU a lot of times. It's like, you know, when we see the trailers of the MCU movies, that we're like, oh, this character's gonna die. This character's gonna die for sure, and then nobody dies. And it's like very safe, kind of like the stakes are high, but really not really. And you're not feeling them. Like Maria Hill dying, being so close to Nick Fury, being a fan favorite and all that. Like in the first episode, if done right, gives a message of like, these are the stakes. Nobody is safe. It's like, but obviously you see the series in its entirety. And then it's like, wow, this was a useless ass death.
Yeah, like I'm
like,
not
but
even...
like seeing the first episode, me yeah. seeing the first episode, obviously I haven't seen the next five episodes.
Right.
And ending the first episode there, it is a message. Like at least that's what I wanted to see, to feel that was a message. Like these are the stakes. They're this high that nobody is safe. Screw, like, you know,
I'm not even against the idea of her dying in this series. In a perfect world, we would have more episodes and for something like this to give an arc like Secret Invasion justice. And in that perfect world, I would think Maria Hill will be contributing throughout the story and maybe on episode 4 or 5 and like a 10 episode series for like the the mid-season finale, she dies. And then it's like, oh, like, wow, like and, no one is safe because the story is like
a good death.
A good death, and she does whatever she needed to do in the season. You got to see her do some cool stuff, cool espionage, all that. I mean, she's one of the few, like, boots on the ground characters for the MCU. I mean, most of the people from S.H.I.E.L.D., like, can you imagine if Phil Coulson died in, like, when did he debut? In Thor? Or was it...
In Iron Man. He debuted in Iron Man.
In Iron Man. Can you imagine if he just died in, I don't know, Iron Man 2?
Well, if he died in Iron Man 2, I don't think many of us would care.
Ridiculous.
You know, he had the rapport.
He had time to be fleshed out. And,
yes. And I think Maria Hill was short. She was shortlisted. And not only was she shortlisted, I think, you know, for episode one, I think that death works. As we said, it's the stakes that are shown. However, what we now see moving forward is flaws in the story, because Maria Hill is only mentioned again, I think, in like episode two.
Episode two and episode five, when quote unquote Rhodey or Fakey is just like showing Nick Fury, nope. Oh yeah, I have this thing, like I have the recording.
What I mean is more is there is no real emotional resonance that it resonates throughout the rest of the series.
And even so, like Nick Fury, I would have liked to see, you know, because he was very like attached to Agent Hill. Like that was his
Let's talk about the man. This is, I think I just counted. I think this is, if I counted correctly, this is Samuel L.'s 14th appearance as Nick Fury. This is his first time he's leading the charge in an MCU film or project, and it's him at the center. Do y'all enjoy Nick Fury in this series? From start to finish, is this what you wanted from a Nick Fury series? I'm going to say this. A lot of things that I enjoyed from Nick Fury is stuff that ties into other films or ties into his backstory. I really liked his the de-aging scenes where he's talking to Gravik when he's younger. Yeah. I like, you know, they're building off of the promise he made with Captain Marvel. But then everything else... It's one of those, I think it's like the MCU trope that the hero is going to go through the motions until like the last couple of episodes when they finally suit up. And this is what we've been waiting for.
It's like they're at a loss and finally they find themselves.
They were using the crutch of he hasn't been the same since the blip. How? I feel he's relatively the same.
I didn't get that vibe.
But yeah, I don't think we ever get a vibe that he's like so different from before.
I think it's like, if anything, like he's like more mellowed out. He's like, that's, I think, what they're, oh, the old Nick Fury. Yeah, because like the old Nick Fury, the younger Nick Fury was more gung-ho. Like this one, like he's more methodical. He's like, I'm going to think first, shoot later type of mentality.
But
it wasn't anything that I was like, oh my God, this is a heaven and earth change from the Nick Fury I saw in the first Avengers movie. Oh my God, no. Was it different? Sure, a little bit. A more aged, more calm, more, you know, wiser. A wiser Nick Fury because of experience and all the shit that's happened in between. But it's like, no, it wasn't a heaven and earth change. And like honestly, another thing that I liked a little bit, I did like the scenes, like the flashback scenes, because it just like hammers in, like, and makes you question, maybe Gravik is kind of right and they're right to kind of be mad,
maybe Gravik's right. Maybe Fury isn't really nothing without his friends, the Skrulls.
That's one thing I'll say I liked about the story when it comes to how they represented the Skrulls. It made me really, in some ways, feel for the Skrulls, and a little bit justified in them just being pissed. Overall,
because yeah,
you know, this is something that was promised in the 90s. At this point, is like, it's gonna be 30 years from that time period where Nick Fury says, "You fight for us, you know, the government or whatever, and I will find you a home." 30 years later, where's the home? What, Nick Fury, what are you doing? And someone like Gravik, who ultimately became an extremist, His downfall is probably one of the more interesting elements in the show, I feel like, because it's really just showing frustration and not having a proper home to call home for the Skrulls. And I think there are some scenes where, like, there's good interaction. Like, I really, like, in the finale, one of the few things I like that scene where he's, like, really... like yelling at Nick Fury.
Yes, like, that was like, the best scene. Oh. That was the best scene of the finale.
Yeah,
like the interaction between Gravik and Fury,
which wasn't really even Fury. Exactly, so which like, wasn't, well, it kinda, but kind of takes it out a little bit. But it's at that moment you think it's Fury, and he thinks it's Fury.
No, he came to serve. Kingsley Ben-Adir. We saw him in the Barbie movie as a Ken.
He was giving
his going to be Bob Marley.
Right. He's going to be Bob Marley. He's also played Malcolm X in One Night in Miami.
Wow.
I think he's one of the up and coming big names that he's about to make some waves.
Interesting.
And yes, that scene he ate, left no crumbs.
He cooked. Let him cook.
They said, you're going to put me up opposite of Sam. I got to deliver. I think he delivered.
Honestly, that was the best part of the finale. Like that interaction, that scene, like, and honestly, you know, like what they did there with like the switcheroo Nick Fury there. That's what they should have, like, again, hammering this point. They should have been doing that the entire freaking series.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, since we're talking about that scene right now, real quick, I didn't see it coming.
the finale
scene where they bamboozled everybody.
I thought he was really there to die. I'm like, wow, are we really gonna lose him?
I was like
he's
definitely about
to
trick him, but I didn't think he was gonna be Gaia.
And you know, even though that you know bamboozled me, once you see what the trick was, I mean, it's we haven't even talked about her yet, but Emilia Clarke's character,
Goliath.
looking back on it, that scene was so dumb, or rather, the plan was so dumb, because you start picking it apart and thinking like, wait, did she expect that Gravik would leave her inside of the super charger scroll thing? Because what if that didn't happen? Then Gravik would have killed her. What was the plan here? Was she just hoping that he would just leave her in there? And like, it's dumb.
No, I'm gonna take this a step even like farther.
I want to come back to this because
like farther, scared. Like really farther back. The entire plot of the series could have been solved, honestly, in the first episode. Because, you know, Gravik is looking for the harvest. Gravik knows not where the harvest is.
Oh, hold on. We gotta explain some of this stuff. We gotta explain some of this stuff.
People haven't seen this.
Yes.
Go ahead. Bring us back.
I mean, yeah, let's pause on the finale real quick, but just a little tidbit since we mentioned the harvest. Harvest is a collection of DNA from heroes, villains, invaders, everybody. We'll come
Which
back
is insane.
To it.
Insane. I don't know why they have that on standby, but
it,
sure,
it is insane. We will come back to it. Utter it's fun insanity. To pick it apart. Like,
that is another thing. That was another thing. Like, but yes, continue.
Go ahead.
Okay, so yes, Nick Fury. Whether you like or whether you think it's a heaven and earth change, it wasn't what again. It's something that wasn't necessarily like done great. We come back to the Skrull plot. Let's talk about Gaia. Let's talk about Talos. Let's talk about Gravik. And let's talk about Vara, Nick Fury's wife.
He had a wife. Whoa.
Funny enough, I think a lot of the better moments in this show are with the quieter moments with some of these characters, the character interactions.
I like the flashback scene. I think they're in a restaurant
with Vara.
With Vara.
That scene is actually like pretty good. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like the interactions between Fury and Vara are actually like pretty good.
Well, it was definitely an interesting dynamic because he knew she was a Skrull, correct? Yes.
But she was
a Skrull. Is that what it was?
Yeah. He knew. He knew that she would
always turn into
Priscilla.
Priscilla. Because that was who he initially fell in love with. Right?
Is
that what happened?
No. She took the form, and again, see, these concepts, I'm like, wow.
That's right. The flashback.
This could be an interesting soap opera. Like, she took care of Priscilla dying bed.
Yeah.
And Priscilla asked her Okay, Priscilla did know Nick Fury before because she just said, love him like I do, or something.
Wait, she did?
That is true.
When Priscilla died,
The
real Priscilla told Vara, love him like I do, don't hurt him, you know?
Okay.
You know, they did fall in love, or they maintained the love that he had with Priscilla. And again, interesting dynamic because, you know, Skrulls are being pulled left and right. Team Talos, Team Gravik. She was eventually hired to kill Nick Fury.
But then she remembers the promise that she did.
Correct.
And she says, like, I promised her that I would never hurt you, and she drops the gun.
And actually, I really like the idea that, you know, some Skrulls are taking on human identities not so forcefully. It's more of a willingly thing that is given to them. They're given the opportunity.
And her character is interesting because she says it's like, I finally, like, I have a home. You know, I have something to look forward to.
Yes.
Like it's very human things that she thoroughly enjoys.
Yeah.
And she feels at peace. She feels at peace on Earth living in Priscilla's skin.
Yes.
She feels like very at peace. She feels that she like that skin is hers. Like it was like an interesting dynamic. Like, again, this is like the good things that the show had. Like, honestly, there were some the best parts of the show were select character interactions that you're like, okay, there's something here. There's a spark, and oh, there it went.
A lot of them don't even have to do with the espionage.
Exactly. And they don't have to do with the espionage.
It's just two characters talking, and you're like, wow, this really has nothing to do with this being a spy thriller. But, I mean, it's good. It's probably one of the better parts. She was one of the better characters, Priscilla. So was the MI6 lady.
Yeah, Sonya.
Did y'all like Gaia?
Okay.
What'd you feel about Emilia Clarke?
All right. So one, Emilia Clarke's a big franchise name, you know. Mind you, I read an interview. She said the MCU is the greatest franchise she's ever been a part of.
Wow.
That's what she said. Mind you, so Game of Thrones.
Wait, when was that interview?
This year, probably like
this
a month
year,
ago.
Like for the promotion of Secret Invasion.
For the promotion, yes. Yeah, for the promotion. Yep, which is wild. Which I guess maybe they have plans for her, which I would hope given the ending of this
after
show.
After that finale, oh my God. They definitely have plans for her. There's no way
I wouldn't think you get rid of Emilia Clarke. You can't. I don't know.
You don't.
Yeah, that's like getting Eddie Murphy.
It's like after the finale, she has a much bigger role to play wherever the MCU is going.
So the character herself of Gaia, you know, she's in an interesting position too. And again, I think a lot of what works is just kind of these character dynamics. If this was a play and yet they were just reading lines across from one another, maybe it would have been a better show versus what we actually got.
Yeah, when Kicker started yelling, that's when I liked it the most.
Yeah.
Wait, when who started yelling?
Characters were just yelling at each other. Like if it was Nick Fury like yelling at Gaia, saying like, "No, Talos did not die for nothing." I'm like, "Yes, cook, keep going." Those are the only scenes that I liked.
Did you feel Emilia Clarke cooked? Did you feel she cooked?
Did she really even argue like that?
She had somber scenes. Like I really liked the scenes.
Honestly,
I feel I've like seen
the
her
writing.
Do
the writing of Gaia's
better.
Character was horrible. The writing of the character.
I don't think it was terrible. I just feel like they didn't do anything with it.
They didn't do enough with her.
I felt to a certain degree that and again, this is not Emilia Clarke's fault. Emilia Clarke, you know, they gave her hot garbage and like she tried to turn that garbage into gold.
I think she needed I think she would have benefited from a yelling match with Gravik. Like they had that one face off, I believe at the end of episode 3 where we thought she ate it. I'm so glad she did not eat it.
That was obvious that she did.
Extremis.
Yeah. No, he's crazy.
But I also did like her back and forth with Talos, played by Ben Mendelsohn. have you seen the meme of Emilia Clarke saying daddy?
No. What?
So Ben Mendelsohn, I think I'm pretty sure he's Australian. So the way he says daddy is like daddy
or something. Okay.
So Emilia Clarke in an interview was like, it's really bad because people are going to run wild with, she's like, daddy, come here, daddy. Come on, daddy.
Wait, like she was like pronouncing it correctly, like making fun of him?
Yes, but she's like, daddy, come on, daddy.
I need to see it.
And just imagine what people are doing with that clip. Either way.
Exactly.
Talos, I like him. I always liked him as a character since Captain Marvel. I think he's in an interesting situation. You know, this whole thing has led to the death of his wife, who we last saw in Far From Home when it was revealed that him and Soren was her name. They were posing as Nick Fury and Maria Hill. So that's the last time we saw her. Died off screen. Daughter's about to go run off with the rebel leader, his protege, you know, who's now an extremist. You got Talos still believing in the good fight. I like that dynamic. It's a dynamic we've seen before, you know, where the hotshot apprentice is fed up with how things are going and lashes out against the master. And I think just given the Skrulls and, you know, what they got going on in this world, I enjoyed Talos as a character. However, there's times where I'm like, there's not enough. And then we get to the point where he's dead too. Right. And I feel it was somewhat of a waste.
Yep, Talos did not have the high ground when he was going against Gravik.
No. Yeah, no, I wasn't. I mean, just the whole concept of like the super scroll. Like what Gravik, what's Gravik's endgame in this again?
That brings me to the real big plot hole of the entire freaking show. That the show could have been done in the first episode.
I mean, what like what was the plan though? It was just create a bunch of Super Skrulls to take over.
I think you know, he wanted to take over because they weren't going to get a planet. So they were going to forcefully make Earth their new home.
Okay.
Versus, because, you know, there was a lot of conversations about people kill each other over nothing. Why would they accept us? You know, people are, humans are like wild animals. We're going to come in and control things. I believe the Super Skrull, which I'm glad they brought in because Super Skrull is a cool concept. They brought it in as a deterrent because, you know, Gravik kept saying stuff like, was your little Avengers Fury? You gonna send them in?
God. Yeah, I kind of thought that was dumb.
The Super Skrull was just a deterrent.
Oh no! I thought the whole because the justification and I had, for the Avengers thing, like yeah, you right. and I have had this conversation multiple times ever since Avengers 1, where
sure.
I'm like, why doesn't Nick Fury call the Avengers for this? This movie ends in 5 minutes, and I think you always defended it by saying, like, what would you always say? You would always say something so
I said, I don't, they were busy. They were doing their own fight. A lot of times I like to say,
it would be like Iron Man 3, where it would be like, why doesn't Tony Stark call the Avengers for help? Why doesn't he get help from them? And then
I would like to think a lot of these Avenger films run parallel to each other, so
but they don't they don't know if they're busy or not. Like, it'll be one thing if, like, in Iron Man 3 he calls Thor, he's like, Thor, I need help against the Mandarin, they just launched missiles at my home, and Thor says like, oh, sorry to Mr. Stark, I am handling the
off world.
I'm off world with the ether fighting the dark elves.
You got the money for a little phone call from RDJ. You got the money from money for Chris Hemsworth just to do a little phone call. You got that money.
I hate, and then like it comes again in this series where it's like, this is a global threat. Gravik says,
oh, but here, but why here they, you, why don't you here they the tried Avengers? To give a reason. Here
they gave a reason. They I gave a reason.
It was a
dumb.
Bullshit reason, but it was like, at least I was like, okay, good.
Because I mean, reason was what? It was just, we got to handle it ourselves.
We got to handle it ourselves.
Well, okay. In the grand scheme of it all.
Oh, no, of course. Of
what
course.
What is Cap going to throw his shield and everything and be like, are you a Skrull?
There's a Super Skrull. We got to find them. He'll be smart. Yeah, let Tony. If he was alive. I guess they really.
There
really
you go.
Have
Tony's dead.
Call Wakanda. No Wakanda. Tony. Call Wakanda.
Wakanda. Call Wakanda. Huh? They're dealing with Talokan.
It's over.
Fury's
it's
right.
Over.
Fury's right. The Avengers don't know how to fight that fight.
And
right.
Actually, for funny enough, about Wakanda, I think Samuel Jackson was in a recent interview. Yes. Someone mm-hmm. asked him. You know, so since your role as Nick Fury like spans like since Iron Man 1 and you're Samuel Jackson, do you get like a lot of say as to like how things go with your character or where you get to appear in the MCU? And he says something like, hell no, I would have been in Black Panther or Nick Fury in Wakanda. Like, don't you think I would have forced them to do that?
He has been very outspoken. He said him, Don, and Anthony all should have been in Black Panther. He's been saying that since like 2018. He's been
That's
saying
insane.
That. And I, for one, think he has a point. If we're just trying to celebrate Black excellence, sure. But story point wise, I don't see why he should be there. But I get it. It's the biggest Black Marvel film, and they forgot their OG Black character.
No, but
it's a sound argument.
No, but honestly, like, yeah, this show.
Well, let's talk about the big twist. Rhodey. Did you guys know?
I did.
Or did
not.
You suspect?
So
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I started suspecting it pretty much. When Rhodey started acting like a freaking asshole with Nick Fury.
Yeah.
When he fired him.
Yeah, that was
it was just how nasty he was being. I'm like, exactly. It was very this is not the same guy. It's
very off character. And I was like, this is
like,
wrong.
Like, part of me, on as bad as it sounds, part of me honestly thought maybe it was just bad writing at first. Like maybe the writers just forgot how Rhodey should be as a person, and they just have him saying these messed up things to Nick Fury just to raise the stakes for the sake of the series. And I was like, man, why are they butchering his character like that? Just for this? Just to show that Nick Fury has no friends in the government and he can't trust anyone, even the ones that are willing to stab him in the back that are not Skrulls. But then the more I thought about it, I'm like, I feel like he has to be, man. Like, I gotta give the MCU some credit. They're not gonna butcher Rhodey, who has been in the game since Iron Man, well, this version of Rhodey, since Iron Man 2. Like there's no way. And then you get the reveal where, you know, he does like the wipe on the bathroom. Oh my God, he's a Skrull. Which I'm like, oh wow.
I'm still gonna call it bad writing. Because as Dr. Mondo, I'm gonna use his phrase, it was a heaven and earth shift of the character of Rhodey, to where it was, even if you didn't theorize that he was a Skrull, you knew something was wrong. This is the same guy that said, should we take baby Thanos and just go back in time and, you know?
Right.
Are you explaining the plot of Hot Tub Time Machine?
There were no quips or like
nothing.
Things that you would normally say. I mean, wasn't this the guy that was like feeling we'll get into the other twist because this calls into question what I'm going to bring up. But wasn't this the guy that was like connecting with God, what was it, Nebula or Rocket, that he connected with in
No, we can talk about it. Let's talk about it.
What
the finale would reveal that. Oh, I mean, okay. We know Rhodey's a Skrull, but when we find Rhodey,
how long?
And what it appears is that he can't walk, which means this would be after the time, literally, when he got shot down by Vision in Civil War.
And also the hospital gown that he
correct
was in.
The hospital gown,
it's the same
correct.
Hospital gown he was in Civil War.
Correct. So what they are implying is that Rhodey has been a Skrull since the events of Civil War, which a lot of people are upset about. I, for one, do not like it at all, because
it's problematic.
As you said, yes, Rhodey bonded with Nebula, bonded with anybody who was left after the blip.
And not only that, like, if that's the case, it's like, let's just say that Rhodey does appear. So Rhodey doesn't know that Tony Stark is dead.
Well, okay, you see, correct. There's an element to that where it's like that. God, I don't want to give them credit for anything, but there's an interesting element to that where it's like, wow, he does not know. Assuming this is from Civil War, Rhodey, he does not know that Tony Stark is dead.
He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know Thanos.
He doesn't know about Thanos. Like, there's so much that he doesn't know that it would be interesting to see how he absorbs all that information about, like, the Infinity Stones, Tony dying. Like, there's an interesting story there, but ooh, it comes at the cost of what Grandmaster Hoop was saying, which was all the moments from Civil War.
All the earned moments,
the little quips that he had with characters, the bonding moment he had with characters, because there's a lot, like I said,
he was holding Tony's hand when he died.
He was at the funeral. And I get it. The logic is, well, he's Rhodey, so he has to make it seem like he's Rhodey. He can't just not.
No, and not only not that, like, but and also, and like, this is good because it ties into what I was saying before, like, of the like bad writing and plot hole of this. So you know that they put them into these pods, and these pods, they could kind of almost extract memories from them.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
That's right. What, so, yeah, that's what it was doing.
Exactly. That's what it was doing. So here it comes. Gravik was looking for the harvest, right? Why he saw Nick Fury in Russia. He could have easily kidnapped Nick Fury, put him in a pod, extract his memories, and he would have known where the harvest is.
Where's That's all he needed to do. Where's the fun in that?
I'm gonna say easier said than done. And also, easier there's the element
could,
of
the skulls get beat Fury right there in Russia.
I'm just saying,
Fury up by the throat and say, "You're coming with me to the pod."
Wanted Fury to suffer a little bit.
Excuses.
Wanted him to suffer a little.
That's bullshit. Like, come on, that's bullshit. It's like it could. You could have made him suffer. You killed Iron Man, you made him suffer. You could have put him in a pod. Oh, look, here's the harvest. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you got a show at that point.
Exactly. Dent. But like a good show, you actually get good writing. So you can actually have a show.
I'm not knocking them for those points.
There is one dent, and it's a minor dent because I feel like the people at Disney that are writing the MCU, they don't really care about this detail, so they're gonna pretend that no one knows about it. There's one dent there's one dent in the theory that this is Rhodes from Civil War and that he doesn't know anything post Civil War. And it's the fact that in Endgame, Rhodey bleeds and his blood is red.
Yes.
It's not purple. Now, the easiest answer to this is obviously when they're doing Endgame, they're not planning for Rhodes.
When did
Endgame come out? 2018?
2019. It's a retcon.
4 years later for Rhodes to now have
green blood.
Or no, it was purple blood.
Purple blood or start morphing back into your skin.
And so it would be in a way where they are essentially acknowledging it's going to be a retcon. What would be interesting is if you go and watch Endgame now, and I'm curious because they could digitally alter those scenes with Rhodey to have like just a small purple hue to make it look like it, and then they're basically gaslighting the fandom saying, "Oh no, it was always there. What do you mean? We planned this as far as Endgame. Like, this is not an asshole." And it'd be funny because it's clearly red. I went back and just watched that scene. It is red in Endgame. It's pitch red.
It's a retcon. It's for sure a retcon.
We clap it up for them at what cost?
Well, okay. So another interesting little thing as far as this whole thing goes, you know, Rhodey, Don Cheadle he's set to star in Armor Wars,
right?
Which originally Armor Wars was going to be another series, right? You know, and I guess it was kind of dealing with the gap that Tony Stark left. Armor Wars has now been slated to be developed as a film now. And I wonder,
will that be the real Rhodey or will that be fake ass Rhodey?
Well, no. I wonder,
Armor Wars, is it going to... I imagine it happens after.
Oh, post. Yeah, it would be post.
Yeah, but I wonder if amid this production, they're like, oh no, we're gonna do this with Rhodey, change up Armor Wars entirely, you know, change it up entirely, because now we do got a kind of a story to be told as far as, you know, if this is Rhodey from Civil War or even Rhodey from Endgame, there's some gaps that he can fill as a character. And I don't think Rhodey is this. I mean, I don't know if Rhodey deserves a movie. I don't know if he deserves a whole, I think I'd rather see him in a special or a whole series.
Yeah.
But not, I don't know.
Do you think
I don't
a
know
Rhodey
how I feel.
That doesn't know anything post Civil War would warrant a movie? Do you think that's
enough
to give him to work with?
Post Civil War would be more interesting than post Endgame, because there's a lot that has transpired.
Oh, wait, you think there's a possibility this is Rhodey post? He's been MIA since Endgame instead of Civil War.
If it's Rhodey post Endgame, I'm sorry, if it's Rhodey post Civil War, there's a better story. I mean, that's a better story than Rhodey post
Endgame
for Armor Wars, a potential
for arm for potential Armor Wars, for however they want to make Armor Wars, whether it's a series or a movie. I think it's a better story if Rhodey wasn't there for any of it.
Because yeah, a post Endgame Rhodey is, I mean, what does he need to be brought up to speed with, really?
Nothing.
No Way Home. Oh, by the way, Multiverse almost cracked.
I guess is not even on his radar. That doesn't even involve him at this point.
He's gonna be like, what does that mean? What do you mean?
Right. It's funny how there's a faction of MCU characters who are dealing with the multiverse, like, currently, and then there's still some who have no idea what's going on.
Do we know what is the time gap between Endgame and kind of just this period right now with Secret Invasion? Like, has it been 2 years?
We don't know.
The only reason why I ask is because it also goes back to when Gaia, she frees Rhodey, and you know, he says like, oh, what's going on, what's happening, and she implies you've been out for a long time. Now, a long time can imply a lot of things. It can mean 1 year, it could mean 2 years, it could be three, it could be like Civil War, which Civil War was at this point in the mythos, like what, 7-8 years more? I'm counting the blip as well, the time gap for the blip.
Well, we got to remember, funny enough, you know, the blip was what, 4-5 years? 5 years, right?
Five years.
The blip puts us at 2023. So then, you know, the 2 years where we don't have MCU, or the year we don't have MCU projects, I think it's safe to assume that a lot of them take place in 2023, just so we can finally catch up. I think that if that's what they were planning to do, it turned out to be really smart.
Don't give them that much credit.
I don't want to give them that much credit, but I think we're still in 2023 or early 2024 within the MCU. But that also too, Everett Ross, Agent Ross, Martin Freeman, he's not as big as a character as Rhodey, but was that him in Black Panther?
Oh, wow. Wakanda Forever?
Was that him in Wakanda Forever? Who knows? You know?
Yeah.
That poses an interesting little question as well.
Like, I understand they wanted to really get the fandom. Remember when the fandom used to theorize about so many, like, interesting things about what characters appearing where, what they're going to do next? I think they wanted to do that with this.
Yeah, because they're not the fandom's not doing that anymore after the teaser and asshats that in Multiverse of Madness and other movies have been.
I think that they took it the wrong way, where they're like, we got to get people theorizing again and back into the MCU groove. What do people like doing? They like theorizing with, like, shock value. So let's make everyone a Skrull. Let's make Rhodey a Skrull. And they're not realizing, wait a minute, if we make the, like, yes, at first glance, whoa, Rhodey was a Skrull all along. Whoa, that's crazy. But then when you start thinking about it, it becomes problematic. You start thinking about scenes like we mentioned earlier. What about the scene when he in Endgame, in Infinity War, all this stuff? And it's like, I just don't buy it. I don't buy. And mind you, this is mainly coming from the fact that Rhodey's wearing the hospital gown. There's literally nothing else outside of that hospital gown that implies this is from Civil War. But it's the only time we've seen Rhodey in a hospital gown was from the end of Civil War. So it could very well be, I don't know, maybe he was injured in Endgame and needed to go to the hospital. I don't know.
Could be.
And that's it. But they chose the garb he was wearing. They had him not walking properly compared to the other people that could walk just fine. And you could say maybe it's the braces that he needs to walk, just period, right? Because doesn't he need...
Yes, yeah. He has that spinal thing, yeah.
Right. But yeah, no, it's... that's probably... I checked on Twitter what was trending regarding that stuff. And... regarding like Secret Invasion in general, no one's really talking about the ending. No one's talking about there's two things which we haven't talked about. One of them was Rhodey, and the other thing was what happened with Gaia.
All right, we're here now. We're here now. Let's talk about the Harvest. Now this I call kind of somewhat convoluted that they happen to get all this DNA from all these people.
I paused on every name that was coming up on that computer when Gravik put it in the system, and like you saw Black Panther come up, you saw Thor, you saw all these people. I'm like, you guys got DNA for all of these people. Mind you, some of them are dead, so they just get the corpse. But how convenient that it's all in this single vial.
It's just like, oh, so convenient. Why didn't you burn it? Why didn't you? No, you had to keep it stored. Why did you keep it stored? Oh, I don't know. We just kept it stored. And it's just like,
And so what happens?
They both get it
conveniently for Emilia Clarke, which dumb.
I mean, it gives her character
Think about what it took to get there. My thing is like, there was
it didn't not, feel as earned.
It didn't feel earned. It was not told in a sensical way where it's like, oh no, this makes sense. She planned it all along because she's going to be in the Super Scroll contraption. It's going to make sense. No, she was on the ground. And I get it. She was crawling like, ooh, let me put myself right in the center of it. Gravik could have kicked her out of it. Gravik could have been like, hey, what are you doing? Get out of here. And then he turns it on. And then, well, great. You gave him what he wanted. And now there's nothing to fight him against. So great. Plan ruined immediately. But what? He gets all the powers.
Would you like a list?
List is enormous.
These are the confirmed ones. These are what's on the screen. You have Ghost from Ant-Man and the Wasp, Steve and Bucky.
Was that teleport thing that she was doing?
Yes. Because okay, I forgot.
Who is that? Okay.
Yeah, I was like, it's Ghost. Okay. Steve and Bucky. So I guess she got some super soldier. Corvus Glaive. He was the one who was fighting Vision in Infinity War, stabbed Vision.
Mind you, some of these are a little redundant.
Some of these are, they don't do much.
Because it's you have Captain America DNA and Black Panther DNA. What is that? Super strength?
Well, it's agility? Just like, once you have the Hulk, which she has the Hulk.
It overrides all of that. Like,
right, you don't need
what's the point?
Right. Thanos. Thanos' Outriders. Those were the aliens attacking Wakanda.
I did recognize those names.
Proxima Midnight. They got all the Black Hand or whatever they're called.
His posse.
Yeah, like the telekinesis that he uses.
Yeah.
From Thanos' minions.
Right. So they got all them.
All the Avengers.
All the Avengers. Yeah.
The Guardians.
Getting DNA.
The Guardians.
Guardians, not...
they got Mantis,
Peter, but
they got Gamora. Mantis, Gamora, and I think maybe Drax.
No, they got Drax. Drax's arm. Yeah. The Frost Giants or the Frost Beast, if you remember
the Dark Beast World.
Name.
Yeah.
Yep. Chitauri, apparently Avengers. Valkyrie as well. So
saw that one.
Sure. And Groot, of course.
And she also got like Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel, which that is the one I really question, because I guess it makes sense. Because you know, she got infused basically by the Tesseract. So I guess that altered her DNA to where this makes it very, it sounds like it's super easy now to remake these people's powers. For years, people had trouble recreating the super soldier serum.
Now they can recreate any of
like no like it's anything. Always like that in every in like I think like every superhero, even like anime stuff, So Super Saiyan is so hard to obtain. Now everyone is a Super Saiyan.
What is it? The power of a Super Saiyan in a 7-year-old boy. Or something.
Oh God, who was that? Was that Vegeta?
Vegeta when he's looking at Kid Trunks.
Oh, it's a Super Saiyan bargain sale.
That machine is still up too, no?
Yeah, I guess because she punched him out of the building. So
she didn't destroy the machine. I think she just shut it down. That's all she did. You know, instead of destroying it, let's just turn off the off switch that someone else can turn off.
Look, any scroll at this point, unless it's a one and done thing, I don't know.
I mean, I would hope that after she defeated Gravik, which, I mean, I still question because it's like, I don't get it.
Well, I thought he had Extremis.
Does Extremis?
Yeah, Extremis, remember? Extremis?
Who's that?
Extremis from Iron Man 3.
I think
how Gaia lived when he shot her.
Oh, that's okay. That was actually kind of cool.
I think the way they replicate the powers, I think, and don't quote me on this, they can replicate it, but I think it's not like to the fullest ability. It's like
there's a cap, so she can keep regenerating, but only to an extent.
She can Hulk smash, but versus a Hulk smash from the Hulk, it's nothing.
I guess that makes sense.
So like she can, I think they can like copy powers, but not to the full, like to 100%.
The real deal is gonna
pack a lot more oomph than them, but they have a shit ton of powers that they can kind of combine and all that kind of stuff.
Because that was basically the case in the comics and what I remember from Avengers, Earth's Mightiest Heroes. Yeah, the originals were still like, there was a gap between the originals and the Skrulls. So yeah, okay, sure. So Carol Danvers can still beat her ass.
Yeah, Carol Danvers.
I would hope so. They just need to come out and say it now.
Sure.
Yeah. Right. Because right now you're led to believe she's that guy is just as powerful as all the DNA that she has from, which is everyone basically.
Which is crazy. Yeah, that would put her as being the most powerful non-godlike character.
Wouldn't she have Doctor Strange abilities too?
No, because that's taught. That's not DNA.
Yeah, that's magic.
Interesting. Yep. I guess, yeah, DNA.
Now, okay. Wanda's, I think technically,
DNA. She wasn't taught.
They're still leading down this mutant train. I think that probably would have worked as well.
Well, I
have no idea when we'll see her again. I don't see where she fits. I'm not even sure what happened at the end. What did they find? More humans that were abducted? Was that what the ending was? Sonya took her down there?
Yeah, I think they found like another, kind of like another hub that they had like all these humans that they had kidnapped, and that these humans are the ones that the Skrulls are impersonating right now.
Okay, so
Sonya, what she says,
it's like, I'm not gonna be like Fury. You're gonna use me, and I'm gonna use you.
We're not friends.
This is just a business transaction, and I'm gonna help you out so that the president doesn't whoop your ass and the asses of your people.
The president has put a hit list out.
Oh my God, what an extreme, like, was that like
very, a, I was that, waiting for him to turn into a Skrull.
Part of me thought like he was gonna turn into a Skrull in the car, and I'll be like, oh wow, what a twist, a Skrull wanting to put a hit on the rest of his kind. I feel like there was supposed to be like some subtext to that, like are they trying to say something about immigration and how presidents handle it or recent.
Well, there was that. There was kind of the radical outlash that comes from.
Yeah, he says
leaders radicalize movements,
right,
and whatnot.
Right.
I think there's a little subtext, which I did not need this subtext in this.
Yeah, it just, I mean,
It was pretty graphic too.
It was graphic. I think probably the shock value of just like having society collapse to that state where people are. I feel like there is subtext to this. There is definitely some deeper subtext to this where it's like people are going on manhunts and killing people they think that are Skrulls, but some of them are not Skrulls, so they end up killing the wrong person. There's something there. There is.
It's very xenophobia. I'm gonna say this. It's given January 6th. I'm gonna say that.
Oh, insurrection vibes.
Yes.
Wow. You know what? Yeah.
That's the vibe I got from it.
Mildly, yep. Yeah. I saw it and I'm like, wait, what are they saying here? Why do you say kill all Skrulls? Attack them.
It's inciting insurrection.
Oh my goodness. That's wild. And I like how Fury called him out. He's like, my man, why did you do that?
Right.
That was a little extreme, don't you think?
It was.
But yeah, like what happens in the grand scheme of things? Like he leaves again.
He's going back to Saber. Vara is going to come along and be a Skrull diplomat to speak to the Kree. They've had that ancient war between Kree and Skrull. Last time we saw the Kree, Carol Danvers had killed the hive mind thing that runs the Kree Empire.
Okay.
And I imagine this, well, Nick Fury, we're going to see him again in the Marvels. So I imagine this leads directly into the Marvels.
Likely.
So if the Marvels deal with any bit of Kree, we're going to see maybe Vara. We're going to maybe get some more closure to this story. And as we already said, Gaius with Sonya. And I think that's it. Wow. As far as...
So the Marvels might just combine two of the pretty worst MCU shows to this day. Okay.
I'm going to let the Marvel speak for itself and what I've seen from the trailers. No,
like I'm going to watch it and hopefully,
you will consume.
It looks fun. It looks fun. Looks a lot of fun.
I will consume, but at least you're going to combine Secret Mid with Mid Marvel. And you're putting all that into a single movie. Hopefully they prove me wrong. Hopefully it's a blockbuster. It's freaking amazing. I'm like, oh my god, the Marvels. But I think it's gonna be.
I will say for the Marvels, because that's right. We have Loki season 2 still before.
Oh, I don't think that's coming out. I mean, wow, we haven't heard anything. It's been really quiet.
I think it's just going to be the Marvels.
Okay, never mind. Loki season 2, August. October 6th.
Oh, October. Really? Wow.
October 6th.
And so that would be, that would be ending right at the time of the Marvels would release.
That would lead right into
there's nothing before Loki, right?
No, but I'm pretty sure it's also going to come out. Yeah, I think they moved up Echo.
What if? Echo.
Echo.
Oh, no, I think...
Pretty sure...
I know Echo was slated for this year.
Okay, so it'll go like this. It'll go...
They changed it
to Loki Season 2, The Marvels.
Echo
is November 29th.
Yeah. And by the way, another 6 episodes.
Mind you,
they're all going to be released at the same time.
Right. They changed
gears. Oh, they are?
Yes, yep. They are. Yeah, they changed that.
Interesting. Interesting.
Which it makes you wonder, do they have no faith in Echo? And they're like, this is not even good enough to be a weekly, like Mid-Invasion or Mid-Marvel.
Oh, that's very telling. It is very telling.
Which, I mean, we'll see. It is concerning.
I mean, it may work.
It may work. Maybe it's something where like the executives don't see what's great about it, but then maybe that's what the fandom has been needing for a long time. Maybe it's something good that we actually want, and then we're getting it, but they didn't have any faith in it.
And then keep in mind too, Echo will see the return of Kingpin and Daredevil.
Correct.
Who were already formatted before for, you know, any, you know, their shows out, every episode out and whenever, you know.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Maybe maybe that's a calculated move. We will see.
So pretty much left of the MCU when it comes to this year is Loki season 2, The Marvels, and Echo.
That should be it. That should wrap up 2023 MCU.
And yeah, that's Secret Invasion.
I was going to say real quick, you don't have to give me your full order, but this is the 9th Disney Plus Marvel series. Where do you put it?
You know, that's really hard.
I think I put it like bottom of the barrel for me is Miss Marvel. Then like She-Hulk. And I would say right there, Secret Invasion.
I think She-Hulk was at the bottom for me. I think I remembered She-Hulk was at the bottom. I gave Mid-Marvel above She-Hulk because it had a great first episode. I still think to this day it's best episode. Yeah, this is like right above that, I think. I
would say like it's 7 out of 9.
Yeah, I think wait, 7 out of 9?
What? Like he's saying it's 7th place out of the 9.
Okay. I thought you meant like score-wise. Like it's a 7 out of 9. How does that work exactly? No, that makes sense then. It's definitely it's not the worst. I feel like God, it didn't waste my time like She-Hulk for 9 weeks. Miss Marvel had a great first episode. This one's 7th place. I mean, it's clearly the best series, have far outshined it, like Falcon and Winter Soldier, WandaVision,
Moon Knight
is at the top. I don't care what anyone says. This is towards the bottom, especially like it, you know how excited we were about a series led MCU show with Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. That to me kind of knocks it down even further, because it's like you had Samuel L. Jackson and you still somehow found a way to deliver Mid. Why? That is an accomplishment. Why did you do that? And not only that, that abomination of an intro where at face value it seems interesting. The AI, that, you know what? Part of me wants to put it at the bottom. I want to put it at the bottom just for that as well. Yeah, Samuel Jackson. You did AI intro. Oh my God. This could be at someone's bottom, in all honesty. Just for the potential that it had because it's Samuel Jackson. Compared to She-Hulk, where it's She-Hulk and Miss Marvel, and it's trying to convince you, like, with these new characters, hey, look at these new characters, they're going to lead the MCU moving forward. But Nick Fury is an established character. It should be so easy to be able to make a great show around that, because guess what? They already did it with WandaVision. They already did it with Falcon and Winter Soldier. But I guess third time is not the charm. I guess you slipped on a banana peel for Nick Fury. You know what? This is at the bottom. This is at the bottom for me. This is at the bottom. No, I'm dead serious. This is at the bottom. This is at the bottom for just the potential that it had. And of all the shows, I don't care what we say about She-Hulk or Miss Marvel, at the end of the day, they were trying to establish new characters. And if you liked them, you didn't like them. Or if you didn't like them, you know, you just moved on. With Nick Fury, Secret Invasion, and not only that, adapting one of the more interesting stories in the entire Marvel comic verse, because, you know, it's up there with like Civil War, the Infinity Saga. It's a well-known saga in Marvel comics, and you gave it justice like this. This is at the bottom. I'm changing my score. It goes, this is the worst MCU show, then She-Hulk at above Secret Invasion, and then Ms. Marvel. That being said, there's still things you could like about Secret Invasion. We talked about it. But it's the fact that you squandered something that should have wrote itself. And yeah, bottom.
If I have a nickel for every time you said bottom in that little tirade right there.
Oh. You'd have three or four nickels.
I would have more than one, which is saying something. So I'm with y'all. It's in the bottom tier, most definitely. To the sentiments of it being really disappointing, and not even disappointing as far as, you know, what it could have been as far as if they truly wanted to adapt the comic. But because you knew how big of a comic it was and you decided to do something on your own and make it your own, and then what you made wasn't that great, I find that very disappointing. So I will say this. Some people called the finale out because they said this is exactly what She-Hulk said MCU shows do.
Oh, the CGI battle.
The big CGI battle, right? Where
Carol Danvers shoots a beam in the sky with her powers. Not Carol Danvers literally, but
Gaia, yeah.
Yeah,
Gaia. There was a beam in the sky. There was. So I thought that was funny. That good job, She-Hulk. I'll come back when we do our phase five.
No, stop. No. If Dr. Mondo did it, and if I was brave enough to put it at the bottom, you got to give yours right now. It's okay to hate it. If you hate it,
I don't hate it.
Okay,
I think
if you
some
like
good
it, then be brave.
What it really comes down to,
be brave
really
enough to say,
to,
consume this show. Consume
what it really
it.
Comes down to is if I want to rewatch it or not. And I'll be okay if I don't rewatch it. So,
all right. So,
no, but like, so rank it, like, give like your bottom three.
I said it without saying it. Every other show, I'm okay with rewatching. There you go.
Every other MCU show, you're okay rewatching?
I probably in already some capacity have rewatched a lot of the other shows in some capacity.
So you rewatched She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel?
I said in some capacity,
but
not in its entirety.
But this one.
This one I'm okay not rewatching.
So in other words, if I'm interpreting your words, because you're afraid
read between
to say
the lines.
It, you're afraid
read between
you
the
think
lines.
Kevin is going to smash in from the ceiling and pick
read
you up
between,
by your throat.
Read between. This, Kevin's got bigger fries to deal
this
than,
is
than me right now.
Worst MCU show, in your opinion.
It's probably the most disappointing.
It's at the bottom for you. Yes.
Sure.
Okay. All right. There we go. It's growth. We're going to get you to say it someday.
Cracks in the shell of the MCU defender.
I call it out when it's not that great. So
that's
baby
funny.
Steps. Baby steps.
That's funny. We'll get there. Don't worry.
Out of 10, easily like a 4 out of 10.
I don't even know what score because
I don't have a score. I just know it's not great.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. Let's
leave it. Let's stop beating a dead horse. Yeah,
no,
let's
more,
stop
more.
Let's stop beating a dead scroll. Yeah, let's leave it alone. Or who else wants some? I think that was Gravik when he was yelling at everybody.
Oh, yeah, when he killed his people.
Yeah.
And they try to suffocate him with a bag.
Yeah, like, no, I'm just like, the guy can hold his breath for a shit ton of time.
Yeah.
He's a super Skrull, so.
Not that true. He was a fucking tree at that point because he was grouped.
All right.
Enough of Secret Invasion, folks. Listen, Marvel's 9th Disney Plus show. Go watch it if you haven't. If you listen to this podcast, we hope you did watch it. If we want better shows, please, people at the top, Bob Iger, whoever, pay your writers. This is a reflection of what happens when you don't pay your writers, okay? Yep. Please pay your writers, pay your actors, get your shit together, because this shit ain't going to fly for much longer, okay? That's all we got to say about that. Secret Invasion, Marvel, we'll see Nick Fury in the Marvels. Got Loki up next on deck for MCU. And that is it from us here at the Yonko Table. I'm your host, Grandmaster Hoop, fellow Yonko, Dr. Jace Attorney, Supernova, Dr. Mondo. Again, thank you for all your support on various podcast listening stations, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast. Thank you for supporting on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, Twitch with Dr. Jace Attorney, of course. And of course, if you want to go ahead and discuss with us, join the link below and join our Discord where we can have some discourse. Okay. How shall we close this thing out?
God, is it even deserving of
Daddy?
I sent the video in the chat. It's very funny.
Oh God. I don't even know.
There's not Daddy.
There.